good to be here, Custer, with you again this morning. I enjoy coming to this church. For those that may not know me, my name's Tim Davidson. My wife, Gina, is here with me this morning. We live in Bismarck, North Dakota. We pastored Word of Faith Church in Bismarck for 35 years and then turned it over to my daughter and son-in-law, and they're running our church now and leading in a wonderful way. And that frees me up to come and do these kind of things, you know. So I'm a regional director for Rhema, which is the Hagen Ministries in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I used to serve 5 states, but I got complaining a little bit, and they cut it down to 2. And so I'm now the regional director for Rhema over North and South Dakota only. And so I cut about a 1,500-mile journey off my round trip to go through the region. And so I'm glad to be here with you this morning and want to minister that which God has laid upon my heart for you this morning. And so we are involved in last day things, I believe. And so even as I prayed that the Spirit is going to pour himself out upon all flesh, that means you're lost loved ones and friends and neighbors and people that don't have a clue yet that they even need the Spirit poured out on them. And besides that, he's going to pour the Spirit out on you because you're part of that scenario. We're either a young man or an old man, okay? And by man, we mean mankind. So either, I better not go there. You're all young women here, but some of us men get to be old men and you know, we move on from visions to dreams, so that means we get it while we're sleeping, I guess. But anyway, I want to talk to you about the work of the Lord Jesus, that he's done for us. Because in the last days, we're going to have to be very grounded in the truth of what Jesus has done for us, because it's already in the past tense. You see, it doesn't matter what happens out here. You know, who he gets elected to Congress or the presidency or anything like that doesn't matter because of what Jesus has already done. We're stable. We're set for the future. If we understand that, we can just lean on that like a foundation under you. You can stomp your feet on it. It's not going to move. You see, and that's what God's trying to do with us is establish us, ground us, root us for the future. Because the future is going to require you to know what he's done, and then not only for you to experience it, but you are an ambassador of it. You can tell your friends and neighbors when they start having turmoil. Jesus will help you too. I say too because we know he's helped us, right? Anyway, how many of you have heard the statement, all you ever need is Jesus? Amen? Now, is that a good statement or is that a not so good statement? It all depends upon what you're talking about. When it comes to our salvation, Jesus is the only way, right? He said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So in other words, to be born again, all you need is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. But now as a believer, is all you need is Jesus. You see, I'm setting you up here. I think you know how I do things. I'm setting you up here by asking these questions. I ask questions because I was a grade school teacher before I ever became a preacher. And so, you know, I like questions and answers, and I'll ask them and answer them both. But you see, if we get the idea that it's just me and Jesus and that's the sum total, then we're going to miss out on some things. For example, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the story of Jesus. Everything he said, what he did, his miracles, his journey to the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father, it's all in the Gospels. And you need to read them and become very familiar with that. But let me say it this way. None of the Gospels mention some things that are so important that you need to know If, in other words, if all you read the Gospels, all you read is about Jesus and what he did, you wouldn't know that he was your substitute for the sin of your life. He never mentioned he was a substitute for your sin in the Gospels. We see him going and being our substitute, but we wouldn't know that's what he was doing. We thought he was murdered by the Romans. See? We wouldn't know what he was doing if we just read the Gospels. We wouldn't know he was our sin bearer. We could guess from the Old Testament, but we didn't see it. If you were there that day, you wouldn't see him as our sin bearer. You wouldn't know that Christ is the one who put sin away by the sacrifice of himself. I mean, that he's absolutely eliminating the sin problem in the world when he went to that cross. You wouldn't have known that, right? You just read the Gospels, there's quite a few things you won't know anything about. Not a word is mentioned in the Gospels about Jesus becoming your righteousness, your right standing with God, that you could have that, that you do have it if you accept Jesus. You have a right standing with God, no matter what your neighbors say about you. Amen. Don't get the idea your neighbors are going to call you righteous. You're going to wait a long time for that report. But you can know it right now, but you won't know it if all you do is read the Gospels. Because that wasn't revealed in the Gospels. You didn't know how he was delivered up for your trespasses, how he was raised again, because you were justified, made just as if you never sinned. You wouldn't know anything about the body of Christ by reading the Gospels. You wouldn't know his present-day ministry at the right hand of the Father, where he prays and intercedes for you and watches over you and guides you, the Holy Spirit and him working to guide you and protect you. You wouldn't know anything about that. If you just read the Gospels, you wouldn't know of him being your mediator when you sin. You know, he's pleading your case before the Father. He's your intercessor, he's your advocate, he's your high priest, he's your Lord, Lord of all. You wouldn't know that by reading just the Gospels. And so rather than ask, is all that we need is Jesus, let's ask, is all I need just the gospel message? You know, because the gospel of Jesus reveals what and who he was. It says he's the incarnation. We see his miracles when we read the Gospels. We see how he was led a sinless life. We saw how he stood up to the Pharisees and rebuked them openly. We saw the Father's love for him, and also he declared it for us. You see, we know that from the Gospels. We know that it was the fulfillment of Scripture, of the Messiah that was supposed to come and be a sacrifice and all of that. We see that he fulfilled those Scriptures. We see the natural side of his life. We see him crying and bleeding and tired and sleeping and eating up and speaking and all the natural things of his life. You know, he had a group of people with him. He had administration. Somebody took care of the finance, and somebody else went and got the room prepared and all of that. Those are the natural things around him, but they don't speak of our redemption. And so what I'm doing is setting the stage to talk to you about what you'll never find in the Gospels, but you will find in the epistles. How many know what an epistle is? It is not the wife of an apostle. Okay? The epistles are the books after the gospel. And it's the New Testament written mostly by Paul and a few other writers. And this is where you need to spend time. If you can become very familiar with what the epistles say about you, you're going to be a strong Christian that will suffer the same things other people do, but not with any side effect, or you'll be able to stand, you see. You're not going to be shaken by the whole event. And that's what God has went through all that trouble for. You see, thank you, Lord, that he did not die for us to live the way we're living right now. You've got better plans for us. Amen. Nothing wrong with where you're at now, but he's provided so much more. Don't think that, he died for me to be like I am now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No, he's got more for us. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's read about our redemption that was in Christ Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now try to do that on your own. Holy and without blame. How many know you are that way in Christ Jesus? Amen. By faith, wave at me. I mean, you may not ever feel that way, but it's true. It's written. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're holy and blameless. Now notice what it says. Without blame before him. You know what I'm talking about? God looking at you, holy and blameless. Neighbors looking at you, oh my goodness. See, because they're natural thinking, but this is spiritual truth. And so God proclaims it, that through the work of Jesus, you've been made holy, and you've been made without blame before him. Hallelujah. How can he do that? Well, the next phrase is in love. It's the love of God that initiated Jesus coming and suffering everything so that we could be holy and without blame before God. Amen. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. How many know what the word has means? He has made us accepted. We don't say, I has an iPad. No, it's something he has done and initiated for us, that we have something from him even now. Has, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, this idea of what Jesus did for us before we even know about it, this is called redemption. He has redeemed me. I know that when I was a kid, we collected gold bond stamps. Anybody remember gold bond stamps? I'm sorry, we've just dated ourselves. All the younger ones are saying, what? When you'd go to a gas station or grocery store or something, it was a big plan around the country, I guess. And you'd buy your groceries, and then you'd get these stamps, you know, like you put on an envelope, but they were gold bond stamps. They came in sheets or books. Depending on how much you bought, the more you got. Then there was books you pasted them in. I remember that. Oh, my goodness. This sheet of stamps had to be wet and then stick on the book and flip the page and stick some more on. And you did all of this because of what was going to come. Because when you got enough of them, you could go to the redemption center. Okay, there's that word, redemption. And turn them in and get stuff. Right? You could get a new cooker. It depended upon how many you had, because the stuff you got cost so many books, right? Those remember how that worked? Well, I remember going to Bismarck, and my mom had a whole bag full of stuff because she is going to the Redemption Center, and she's going to get something. I don't remember what she got, but she turned in all the books and got something back for it. Didn't pay a dime for the new cookware or whatever she got. It's already paid for. When was it paid for? When you bought your gas, when you bought your groceries. See what I mean? And so that was a pretty big thing back then. Then somebody else started another, you know, there's always competition. Green stamps came out, you know, gold bond stamp, green stamp. I mean, there's stamps everywhere back then. But I'm telling you that so you understand what redemption means. When we say he redeemed you, he already bought you. He paid the price, all right? And now you can stand on that and get stuff. You can get holiness. I'm without blame now. Why? Because he purchased me. Amen. Because I'm redeemed. Have you ever told anybody that? You know, they're looking at you and you're talking to them. Oh yeah, by the way, I want you to know I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed because of what Jesus did. We don't talk that way, do we? But we should. You need to talk that way just for your benefit, as well as the benefit of those that hear you. So redemption, what the word in the original language of the Bible actually means, the act of ransom, or paying a ransom in full. Sin held us in bondage, and Jesus paid the ransom, and now we're let go. That's what the word redemption means. It means a riddance of. Ever said it? Good riddance to you. You know, some problem thing, and all. They're leaving. It's getting out of your life. Good riddance. Unfortunately, we say that about people sometimes, you know. But that's what redemption means. It means a total getting rid of it. Where did our sins go? He got rid of it for us. It's called redemption. Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14 says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us to be able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now this says that he delivered us from darkness and put us into light. We can still experience dark times, but we aren't dark anymore. We're not sinful anymore. We're not hidden from God or ostracized. We're redeemed. And so we have that by the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for us. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty. He substituted himself for us where, you know, when we die and in our sins, we'd have to stand before the judgment seat. And God would have to say, yeah, you're not one of mine. And then we would have to go where the tormentor is going to torment the devil in his crowd, see. But when we are redeemed, when we receive our salvation through Jesus, now we stand before that judgment seat and we say, Jesus did that for me. So God says, well, welcome. You're one of mine. Welcome into heaven. You're my kid. Come with me. If we're still the devil's kid, we go where he goes. And so it isn't your sin, your act of ugliness that will send anybody to hell anymore. It's simply not having Jesus in your heart. That's the key. You know, we have a tendency to think one sin's worse than another. Every one of them will kill you spiritually. You know, all it took was one. And we're lost. Well, we need a Savior. Here comes Jesus. I'll accept that. I accept you. And then we get redeemed. He's our sin substitute. He's our salvation. So we're on his side now. Amen? So we have benefits because of the redemption that is in Christ. Our life is simply changed. Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, which Jesus did for us. Now he took our curse. That's how he got rid of it for us. He took it. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. The curse of the law is quite a big deal, because every broken law requires a punishment. Even in the natural realm, if you get caught speeding, guess what you're going to get? Punished. You know, because that's the nature of law. And God gave a law in the Old Testament to try and control the behavior of the people, but it always had a curse with it. You know, if you don't follow the Lord your God, then your crops are going to dry up, and then your cattle are going to get sick, and you're going to get sick, and all of these things, bad things are going to happen simply because of your disobedience to what God says do. Okay, well, who got it all right in the Old Testament? Nobody. Nobody can keep the law. But one did, and he became a curse for us and removed the law. Jesus did that for you. Now, as far as God looks at, the sin is gone from your life. Jesus is here. The curse of the law paid for. Can you see what I'm trying to do? You have free access to the Father. You got it. You can get on everything he's died for us to have. Amen. And it works pretty powerfully in a life to change a life. Because even Christians try and live by law keeping. Well, you better not sin, you better not this, you better not that. It kind of sounds like Santa Claus is watching, you know. That very concept is a law concept. You know, that myth of the Santa Claus knows whether you're naughty or nice, you know. Meaning if you're naughty, you're going to get punished. But if you're nice, you get rewarded. None of that works. Okay? God did not call us a life of living under law. And it's hard for us because we can't imagine not having a law over our head demanding that we behave. You mean God just doesn't matter to him what we do? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because he will lead and guide you by his Spirit, not by a punishment or a threat. You know, is there a difference? Is there a difference about loving us and saying how I want you to follow me and do this and do that, put these things aside, let the old man be put aside, don't walk in the deeds of the flesh anymore? And he's not going like this when he says it. You see? When he's not shaking his fist, the scowl on his, you better not disobey me. That all of that's the law, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? And so when we think about doing right and wrong, we got to think about something besides law and punishment. See, now how can we approach our Christian life? Love and obedience, I suppose, is better words. I love God, so I'm going to obey him. He loves me, so he's going to help me obey him by putting his Spirit inside of me. Remember, we can receive the promise of the Spirit through Jesus Christ, through our faith, because what Jesus did, and he removed the law. And so should I, and name whatever you're wondering if you should do or shouldn't do. You know, I can name a bunch of things, but I don't want to pinpoint anybody particularly. But when we are trying to live for God and then we have a decision or something, I'll just give my own testimony. When I was first born again, I played volleyball on a very, well, it was the top volleyball league in Bismarck. And so we didn't play around. We actually played the game. And I played every Thursday night, I think it was. Well, afterwards, the guys on my team, hey, we're heading to the so-and-so bar. Why don't you come on over and join us? You know, well, I used to go to bars. But I've been redeemed. I've received Jesus. Now, is it wrong for me to go to the bar? Is it against the law? Well, not if there's no law to guide me. So what do I have to look at? Rather than is it right or is it wrong, I have to look at how is he guiding me? It's going to be inside of me, control, not shaking fists outside of me, controlling me. This is redemption. The difference between what I'm talking about is your redemption. He has invited you into a realm of following him as a child of God, where you can be totally free of everything that stumbled you up in the past if you'll just listen to him and learn your New Testament rights and privileges. You won't know you can walk free of the law unless you read and understand it's what he gave me. Not without any knowledge, you're consumed and you're defeated without knowing what God did. You're destroyed. Even though it's yours, you're still destroyed. But you get knowledgeable, you get a clue, okay? And then all of a sudden, now, in that situation I described, I had a decision to make, didn't I? I mean, these are nice guys. My brother was one of them. I played with my older brother. And so, oh, man, you don't want them to think you're a sissy or that you're not friendly or something. But, you know, down inside, I heard something in my spirit man, not a voice, but just an intuition or a repeated thought. You don't need that. You know, come on over. You don't need that. Yeah, but they want me to go. You don't need that. See, I have a choice now, don't I? I'm aware of something on the inside of me trying to guide me, but am I going to listen to that or not? That's my decision. And so I made a decision. I told him, well, thanks, boys, for asking me to come on over with you. But I think I'd rather go home tonight. I remember one guy said, home? Why would you want to go there? What was waiting for him at home? That something called trouble or something unpleasant. He didn't want to go home. I wanted to go home. So I said, I'm going to go home. Thanks. I didn't go with them. They asked me about two more times. I said, no, I think I'll go home. And then they stopped asking me. Did they treat me bad? No. I still played with them. They still were friendly. Everything was still good. But I was walking in my redemption. Because I used to go to the bars, but I don't anymore. Was it God said, don't do that or else? I'd probably still be fighting for the bar if it was that way. But when I understood that I'm free, I've got to make choices. Am I going to walk in freedom or not? I walked right out of some of those bad things that I was involved in before I got saved. And so can you. We all can be praising God this morning for our redemption in Christ Jesus. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. We're redeemed from poverty, lack, and financial ruin, we're redeemed from that. He paid the price so we can have what we need. He said, I'll meet your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jan gave us a bunch of scriptures about if you'll give, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down. But guess what? It's your decision. No shaking fist. Better give some money. No, keep your money until you want to give it. Give it. Amen. Then there's great blessing. Tremendous blessing when you give freely. Hallelujah. That's half my sermon right there. Redeemed. How many know you're redeemed this morning? Say it with me. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm free of sin because of what Jesus did. He's my sin substitute. He paid the penalty for me. I accepted it. And I'm free. In Jesus' name. All right, that was half my sermon. The other half is the word ready. Ready. Redeemed and ready. Ready for what? Ready for what? Well, let's find out. Psalms 71:16 says this, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I will make mention. I want you to notice that phrase. I will make mention of the Lord. I'll make mention. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4 says, in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. And there's other scriptures that say, make mention that his name is holy. Make mention of the Lord. So we're redeemed and ready to do what? Don't make me repeat this whole thing. What did these verses tell us to do? Make mention. Say that. Make mention. See, we're redeemed. What a wonderful thing to be. But now, what God asks us to do is make mention of his name to other people. Hallelujah. One of the pastors, very good, strong pastor up in North Dakota, his vision is, he said it in a minister's meeting just yesterday, he said, my goal is to make Jesus a praise word in this region rather than just a cuss word. Okay? Let's make Jesus a praise word, not just a cuss word in Custer. Amen? Now, how would we do that? We have to start making mention of him in conversations. I've done this. I've done it a number of times because I just don't care whether people like what I'm saying or not. You know, I don't know if that's just stubbornness or if it's actually just trying to obey what God gave me. But, you know, they start talking about how bad things are, how the world's going to hell in a handbasket and all of these other things. What do you say about that? Yep, that's the way the world's going, but I'm not going that way. Well, why would you say that? Because I just know that Jesus, my Savior, is going to take me to heaven and it's all going to work out. Okay, two things just happened. You didn't side in with the woe is me, we're going down the tubes. You didn't put yourself in that tube. You declared you're not in it. And then the other thing you did was made mention of the Lord that there's an alternative to going down the tube. Are you understanding me? Okay, this is the ready that I'm talking about. Because we're redeemed, we can start interjecting our voice into the conversation of this world, and we can bring light, and we can bring love, we can bring hope, we can bring an answer, we can bring solution to this world's problems if we dare. But you know that the enemy will make a big mess of your head over this whole thing. Your head will fight you all the way. Well, I can't mention Jesus at work. I couldn't mention it at the coffee shop. I can't just go around mentioning Jesus with all my friends. They'd think I'm crazy. Who are you thinking about? You're thinking about you when you argue with yourself that way. I couldn't do it. They would think bad of me. Who are you thinking about? I got to take care of me. I'm trying to say you're redeemed. Jesus took care of you. Now you can go ahead. You can get beyond yourself now. Hallelujah. I don't mean be ugly. Be nice. But in the right setting, be bold and make mention that you're a Christian, that you don't agree with the world, that you know something else. If you're not sure you know something else, then you need more Bible study. This church has great ministry to build you up in what the Bible says to you. You're going to need that if you say, well, I don't know what to say. And yet you can say it. You can. You can be the ambassador. There's another aspect of it that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, you can say to others, well, he's the Savior. Do you want to be saved? Every Christian ought to have just a basic understanding that they could lead somebody in a prayer of salvation. And so, pastor will help you with all of that. But you have to be willing to be known as a Christian then, don't you? In other words, we're going to have to stand up for Jesus a bit. Yep, I'm one of those. You're a holy roller, aren't you? Ha ha, how did you know?
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we just have to, you know, take it, I guess. But we can give it back. You know, I'm so free. I'm so happy. I'm on my way to heaven. Oftentimes people ask, well, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing just fine. I'm on my way to heaven and I made it this far. I say that a lot. Well, that sounds a little silly, but it gives an opportunity. Well, what do you mean by that? I have something else I can tell you if you want to listen. You see, redeemed and ready. Ready to be a Christian. Ready to stand up, be heard. How many of you like to be a silent disciple? Oh, it's so convenient. Nobody knows. I'm a Christian. But see, if you're silent, your faith is silent. Because your faith needs to speak to be released. Go back to the beginning. God said, let there be light, and then there was light. He said it. If you're a silent disciple, your faith is inactive because your faith is stirred up, released by your words. And that's why I'm saying if you would dare say to somebody, I am redeemed, your faith in being you, your redemption is growing stronger because you're saying it, you're hearing it, and it's God is witnessing it in your heart. There's no easy way around this. We're either going to be counted as a Christian or we're going to kind of dodge the bullet a little bit. But God has a plan for us. Doesn't he? He's redeemed us for a purpose. He wants us to bring as many people to heaven with us as possible. Amen. What he's done on the cross belongs to you and everybody else on the face of this earth. But the only way that it became yours is when you personally received Jesus, and then it came to you. It's done for everybody. Just like if the bank was saying, we're going to hand out $50 bills to whoever comes down and gets them today. Don't worry, they're not going to do it. You don't have to ask me what day are they going to be doing that on. But you see, if that would be happening, what would you have to do? You'd have to go down and get yours. Jesus redeemed everybody, paid for everybody's sins, and said, I'm the way to the truth, the life, to the life of God, the freedom, heaven, everything that goes with it. Just receive me. Guess what? You got to go receive Jesus, and it's yours. So as I close, I want to just ask, is there anyone here that has not ever received Jesus? But now after hearing this, you'd like to. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Is there anyone here that, you may have thought you believed in God, but you never really received Jesus as an act of your will. And now you know that your redemption lies in the very fact that Jesus comes into your heart. Is there anyone here that would just raise a hand and say, please pray for me. I want to pray and receive Jesus today. Anyone here? I'm not seeing a hand. That must hopefully mean that you all have received. How many have received Jesus? Let's see your hand. Be counted as Christian. If I can see your hand, I appreciate it. Oh, thank you. Let's stand together. I hope what I shared today helps you to see what God is intending to do with us here in this earth as we progress through our life. But we face many issues where we need to have others stand with us. So if you have a prayer request this morning, if you need prayer this morning, there's a team of ministers here at the church that are ready to pray for you. And so I just want you to freely come up to the altar, and they'll be ready to pray with you as we close our service. But I want to pray with you over this message before we go. I want to give you the opportunity to just soak in it a little bit. But you're redeemed. Just close your eyes and say it within yourself. I'm redeemed. I'm loved. I'm accepted in Jesus. He's my everything. Hallelujah. Father, take these words and minister them deep in the heart of everyone here. Give us boldness, Lord, to stand on our redemption and boldly declare who we are in Christ Jesus. Devil, you have no place in us. Devil, you have no power over us. We speak the name of Jesus, and you have to flee from us. Take your whole bag of goods and go. You don't belong here. Sickness and disease, go in Jesus' name. Poverty and lack, go out of our life. Provision, come into our life. Healing, come into our life, all through Jesus' blood. Thank you, Father, for making us powerful Christians in a world that's getting weaker and weaker all around us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate coming down here. God bless you. God bless you. And don't forget about cinnamon rolls in the basement, I believe they said. So God bless you. If you need prayer, come. You are dismissed this morning.